ब्रह्मज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानं जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Over to you. You have to do the first serve. If there are any questions, please write them down and put them in. You can be verbal also. Or if you're shy, you can write it down. Otherwise, we can take verbal.
So you mentioned that the wife should be submissive and humble. And
The wife should be
submissive, humble, and chaste. So should she humbly tolerate if her husband betrays her? Means,
goes off with another woman.
Yeah.
Generally, in Vedic culture, it's recommended, yes, to do so. To try to bring the husband back to the right path by humble dealings. Prabhupada explained that by the arrangement of nature, a woman is dependent on man, not vice versa. Because she needs protection and maintenance while she's carrying children and bearing children and looking after children. So therefore it is her, she's by nature's arrangement bound to depend upon her, not upon a man. Now when Prabhupada was explaining this to one feminist newspaper reporter, she said, well, now the government supports, so why do you have to be dependent upon a husband? The Prabhupada said, actually, this is a very bad system that the government should support unmarried mothers. Prabhupada said, this is encouraging prostitution. Because the women think, well, I don't need a husband, kick him out. And then, see, then the husband has to go on paying money, but he can't even see his children, and the wife is enjoying with her boyfriend. Actually, Prabhupada didn't explain it elsewhere, but in reply to the newspaper reporter, or as TV reporter, actually, he said that it's not a good system that the government is, the people have to pay with their taxes to support a woman who's just running off and the man is running off somewhere else. So actually in many ways, although in the modern age women protest that this idea of women being submissive and all this, it's very bad. It's actually much better for spiritual advancement. Probably the worst position for spiritual advancement is to be a sannyasi. Because a devotee is supposed to practice being very humble and serving others. If one takes sannyas, then others respect and serve him. That's why Bhakti Sansaswara Thakur said that if someone becomes a guru, then they cease to be a Vaishnava. Then he explained that if a Vaishnava doesn't become a guru, then the parampara will not continue. So he has to take the role of a guru as a service to his guru. So in the body of a woman, there is a social pressure to be humble, submissive, chaste. These are all very good qualities. So it's in many ways it's a better position for spiritual advancement, especially Vaishnavism. Okay.
Should a disciple personally visit his guru, take a personal darshan if he has no special problems, which and discuss with his spiritual master. Also, what questions should one ask of you? Should one ask you, our spiritual master, when coming for personal darshan?
So you may wish to have a problem so you can get a darshan. I have no problems. My guru is coming next week, so I'll go and rob a bank and get caught. I mean, you don't have to bring problems. You could also speak about the preaching activities you've been involved in and ask some philosophical questions instead of coming, you know, my dog's got diarrhea or something like this.
Yes,
what should I do? You could ask some questions for Srila Prabhupada. If you can get personal darshan, if you want, you can have. If your guru gives. There are many gurus who have so many disciples that they're not in a position to personally deal with all the individual problems of each of them. It's like I was in some darshans with Prabhupada, but there were at least 100 devotees present in each one. Any questions?
No, it's not so. Should man in Krishna consciousness, are they obliged to wear kalpin so they can just wear karmic underwear clothes?
Well, all devotees should chant 16 rounds, all of their regular And I promise. Oh, wait for me.
You promise me?
I promise to chant 16 rounds, follow four regulated principles, and wear footprints. It's not essential. Actually, traditionally, kopins were given to Babajis. It was considered a sign of renunciation. So it's not essential.
According to astrological horoscope, a husband should die 10 years before his wife. Can a wife...
Is this a general... Oh, according to this particular...
No, particular.
Yeah.
So is, can wife neutralize this by some austerity?
I'm not very expert in astrology. That's an understatement, a gross understatement. Here we're talking about some karma. Actually, before we get to that, first of all, we have to understand that not everything that the astrologer says, like lawyers and doctors, is necessarily correct, even though they may be experts. Just like if you go to three lawyers, they'll give you three different kinds of advice. If you go to three doctors, they'll give you three kinds of advice. One will say you have to have your stomach cut out. Someone will say, well, you just have to do a little exercise or something. In the same way, if you go to three astrologers, you're likely to get three different kinds of advice. And not that they're all totally ignorant, but they're these are very, very complex sciences. Now, there are certain astrological influences which can be offset by various means. They can be offset or they can be somewhat mitigated. Others may be some karmic influences, we say astrological influences, that's actually karmic influences, are so strong that there's very little you can do about them. So we may have to just accept them and go on with life in Krishna consciousness the best we can under the circumstances. Anyway, we all have to die one day or the other. It may be by the Krishna consciousness, if you have some important service to do, especially Krishna will prolong your life. Prabhupada, he had heart attacks when he was on the boat going from India to America. He said that actually that time he was supposed to go away, but Krishna gave him an extension of his life. These are not all about etiquette.
Is it favorable for family life if a wife is senior than her husband? What age categories? To what age category should the husband and wife belong to? So what should be the age difference like this?
It's always recommended that the wife be younger than the husband. If already you're married and your wife is older than you, anyway, go on with it. Doesn't mean you have to start all over again. And it doesn't mean that it has to be a total disaster because of that. But it's always recommended before marrying you should see that the boy is older than the girl. In India, they are before marriage, a man is always called a boy and the woman is always called a girl. That probably comes from the time when they used to marry young. It's different in different communities and in different areas of India. Generally around 5 years difference is considered good. In other parts, it's 10 years is considered normal. So, like that, more or less. It can even be 2 years or even 2 days. Or it could be 15 years or more also. But that's generally not so much recommended. It can be, but a very big difference is not very much recommended. One thing, traditionally in India, marriages are arranged. And then great care is, after marriage, the boy lives in his father's house and they're kept under close supervision. Because actually, young men and women, they can't properly choose for themselves. They're too immature and the influence of, they become more influenced by love. If they start to think, who will be my partner, they become influenced. They become too much influenced by lust and romantic desires and they can't see properly who will be best for them. And then after marriage, all of a sudden they're together and then they need some overseeing and supervision to help them make this transition from into family life.
What's the difference between Mahaprasada and Mahaprasada? Spiritual and energetic.
Well, Mahaprasada means Mahaprasada, which has been the remnants of Prasad, Mahaprasada, which have been taken by Vaishnava. So so he's considered to have more blessings. Although they're both of essence, spiritual, chinma.
Then we serve prasadam during Namahata meetings from pots in which we prepare the food.
Generally, it's recommended to transfer into pots which are only used for serving. But it's understood that a Namahata meeting is in someone's home in Russia where people are just taking newly to Krishna consciousness and they don't have so many facilities and they don't have so much understanding of all these things. They may not even have enough money to buy all these separate pots. There's no space to store them. So I would think that probably in most of the Namahata meetings all in throughout the world, it's served like that directly from the pots in which they're cooked. Not that it's the highest standard, but it's accepted that under the circumstances this is passive. If you can arrange that you have separate serving pots, that's very good. It may not be essential.
In some Vedic dictionary, some Vedic dream teller. Well, a book where they tell the dreams.
Dream interpretation.
Yeah, kind of. So he said that she read that she has 7 days to live. What should she do now?
Yeah, okay. Tasma Bhagavan Sarvadra Ishro Bhagavan Smartavya Shotavya. How does that verse go? Shotavya Smartavya Cha Ichatama Kutavyam. This Parikshit Maharaj told that I only have 7 days to live, so what is my duty? And after explaining so many things, Shukadeva Goswami explained that it's the duty of everyone, not only of one who's about to die, but to hear about, chant about, and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shotavya, kirtitavyascha, smartavyascha, chichatavana. Of course, it may not be an actually correct judgment from this book that you only have 7 days, they have 7 days to live. You may only have 7 seconds left to live. So under all circumstances, maybe you have 70 more years to live. But under all circumstances, we should chant about, hear about, and remember Krishna. And if you happen to be Bill Gates' younger brother, then make a will and leave all your money to Krishna. Of course, Bill Gates' younger brother might be living in a slum, we don't know.
You mentioned at one of the seminars in Lithuania that everyone should always wear dhoti. So what should we do in winter?
No, not that everyone should always wear dhoti. Not that all men should always wear dhoti. Not exactly. Devotees who are living in a temple, that means they're monks, then unless there's any really very strong reason to do otherwise, they should always present themselves as monks. As far as what to do in the winter, please ask Krishna Chandra Prabhu, who's the regional secretary of the Volga region, who always wears Vaishnava dress even in the winter. He's here, right?
No, yes.
He's here, so you can ask him. You may wrap a chadar around him like this.
He's asking about, he wants to know about 7 stages of love.
I also want to know. You have the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, it's described in there. Sneha, Man, Pranaya, all these things. So if you like, you can read that. So, actually, coming to that platform, first we have to go through the stages previous to that. Ado, Shadha, Tata, Sadhu, Sangha, Atha, Bhajana, Kriya. Tato, Nato, Nivritti, Syat. Yes, first. There should be some initial faith in association with devotees. Then engagement in devotional service. Then freedom from unwanted things, such as lust, greed, and anger. Then after that comes firm faith, taste, attachment, and then praying, and then we go on to sneha, man, pranaya, etc. Yeah, firm faith. Then attachment to Krishna. Then bhava, and then emotional ecstasy. Then comes prayer. So it might be more pertinent to ask about the how to get free from all the dirty things in the heart, and then go on to develop prayer, and then ask about these things. Just like the 7-year-old child in the school may ask the teacher that, I want to know about relativity theory. So the teacher is saying, okay, very good. First of all, learn 2 plus 2 equals 4, and we'll go on from there. It is realistic to go step by step. Na ute briko pari, tane tane, kebal dushtapa kalibayajam. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if one attempts to take fruit from the tree without climbing it, then he'll simply get all bad fruits. Giving the example that if from the lower position, if we artificially try to go up to the higher position, we won't actually get it. So go step by step.
Can you repeat the last portion?
That if you attempt to go, that you'll simply get the bad fruits.
Yeah, this I translated with fruit allegory and...
Yeah, so we have to go step by step. Yeah. I mean, there are, you can find people who will tell you about Krishna praying bhav and so many different things, but it doesn't mean that simply by hearing about it that you'll get it. We can talk about these things, but factually we have to work on cleaning the dirty things from our heart by chanting the holy name sincerely and by sincere service mode. You want to know about love, but what is the essence of love? The essence of love is selfless service, that we simply want to serve. So develop that selfless service mood. Otherwise, if we talk about love, but we haven't developed a service mood, then it'll simply be sense gratification in the name of bhakti. And that is called sahaja. That's why, you see, all our acharyas, they recommend, work hard for Krishna. It's not simply by lying on the stove and talking about love that you will get love. You have to do service. It's not a fairy story. You're lying on the stove and then someone touches you with a magic wand and you get praying. Work hard, do service for Krishna.
Yeah, if after Vivaha Yajna, the husband and wife divorce and they have no children, can husband again get married and wife, his former wife, also get married, another man?
If you're even thinking like that, don't have Vivaha Yajna. Next question.
Can one wear tilak in European clothes?
Can.
Can a brahmachari, if he has Lakshmi to go to a festival or to hold it down or to help his parents in his free time, work somewhere or from like have some part time or season job or something?
Actually, brahmachari means completely living in the ashram, completely surrendered to Guru.
Surrender to Guru.
Yeah. Brahmachari doesn't mean he has his own bank account. So this is a modern concept of Brahmachari.
How to follow the four regulative principles, especially no illicit sex, if the desire is very powerful and is more powerful?
Well, if you determine not to follow the regulative principles, then you won't be able to follow them. If you think that, I must break the regulated principles, then who's going to stop you? But actually no one's forcing us to. No one comes up to us with a gun and says, break the regulated principles. So we have to have faith that Krishna is stronger than Maya. And take shelter of Krishna. You can sing this song, Gopinath, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and enter into the spirit of that. If we want, Krishna can help us, even in the most difficult circumstances. But if we don't want, if we've decided that I must fall down, then who's going to help us?
How to properly circumambulate Tulsi Devi and deities, clockwise or counterclockwise?
Just follow everyone else. If they're going anti-clockwise, then don't follow them. But so far I haven't seen them doing that.
Why many spiritual masters have only one shlok in Pranam Mantra? Who gives them the second shlok and can disciples compose the second shlok?
I don't know who composes all the mantras. Prabhupada, he gave his own Pranam Mantra because his disciples were so ignorant of what to do that he gave them, look, this is a Pranam Mantra, you should chant this. other gurus, I don't know who, but maybe their disciples do. There are not that many disciples who even know Sanskrit, so I don't know who composed it.
So I heard from some devotees, they say, in ISKCON we speak about only following rules and regulations, but not speaking about Krishna Lila. It means like first class in school. So they say that ISKCON is like first class in school. So what should we pay attention to such devotees, and how to define in which class, in which grade is this the devotee?
So you come to the first class, pass the first class. I mean, there's one guru who only speaks on Krishna Lila, and his in Germany his followers are known as the pub devotees. Because when their guru comes, they go and listen to Krishna Lila, and then the rest of the 364 days they're in the pub. They're in the bar. This is ridiculous. So it's not that only this is taught in ISKCON, but it is very much taught, because we very much need to hear it. It's not that Krishna Lila is not discussed, but a lot of the teaching is to give us a very solid basis in proper behavior and proper philosophy. This is realistic. We need to understand these things. Others may think they have understood and think that they're so elevated and exalted, but we see practically that many of them, they spend half their life in the bar. So what is the meaning of this? Talk is cheap. Anyone can say it. I'm on such a high level. And that will be practically seen in one's activities, in our sadhana, our preaching.
How to accept, to choose, actually, a spiritual master? How should we make our choice? What factors should we consider?
Guru means who's a faithful follower of his own guru, who can faithfully impart, faithfully and with substance impart that which he has taken or received from his own guru. So there is no doubt that Srila Prabhupada is the unparalleled greatest guru of the modern age. So if you find a follower of Srila Prabhupada, then you can be safe.
Can you explain this phrase by Srila Prabhupada? If a devotee becomes a guru, he stops to be a Vaishnava.
I think whoever is asking this didn't carefully hear what I said. Because the first thing I said was that actually it was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who said this. Of course, he's also a Srila Prabhupada, but generally we're addressing this differently. But I also explained that if a Vaishnava becomes a guru, he seems to be a Vaishnava, means that guru means he takes a very high position, whereas a Vaishnava should take a very low position. But on the other hand, a Vaishnava is obligated to become a guru on the order of his guru, because if he doesn't do so, then the parampara cannot continue. Therefore, Taishishatava Thakya Sarvada Naloibo Puja Ka. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that what is the mood of a Vaishnava is that, addressing his own guru, he says that, I will always remain your servant and not accept the worship of anyone. Amito Vaishnava Buddhi Hoile Aman Amani Nahobani. He says, if I think I'm a Vaishnav, then I'll become puffed up. Patishtasha Ashi Ridoi Dushibe Hoibo Niroigami. Then the desire for honor will enter and contaminate my heart, and I will simply become a candidate for going to hell. So a Vaishnava should never become a guru. He should become a servant of his guru. And if on the order of his guru he becomes a guru, then he should simply think that I'm bringing these persons who are sent to me by my guru to engage me in some service, I'm simply bringing them to his lotus feet for their purification.
If a devotee commits serious sins in Vrindavan, can he neutralize them? This question regards four regulative principles. Or fourth regulative principle, it is not clear.
It's better not to ask this kind of question. Just don't do it, that's all.
You mentioned that hair increases lust. How does it happen?
It is by the potency called Maya, which means that which is not. There is nothing intrinsically attractive about hair or flesh. But by the potency of Maya, it appears attractive. It is by the Lord's inconceivable potency known as Maya.
Why during Vivaha Yagya, husband takes 50% of his wife's bad karma and gives her 50% of his good karma? Is it true?
I wasn't aware of that. I don't know if it's actually that. Is it a fact? I don't know. I don't attend them. I don't think I've ever been to one, actually. There was one conducted when I was getting my first initiation, but I don't think I stayed for that part. I was busy, actually. It was on Janmashtami, and I was the treasurer, and there were so many donations I had to count them all.
Mm.
So after the morning program, I was just counting money all day, and then I came out for my initiation, and I went back and I counted money up until midnight.
Yeah.
That was in the days before they had these coin machines, you know, counting machines.
Mm.
Or at least even if they had them, we didn't have them. So I slept that night between 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock. And in my dreams, I was counting money also. So I can't remember even if I was at the Vivaha Yagya. I don't think so.
Now we have this Bhakti Shastri course of Grihasthas. It's difficult for them to attend this course in Suparila. And just to study by correspondence takes a lot of time. What will you advise them?
I advise do the correspondence course. It may take much time, but we've been in this material world for unlimited how much time? Millions and billions of lifetimes. So we can take some time to study.
No, it means that they lack time. They don't have time for correspondence studies. Okay.
Then chant Hare Krishna. Do whatever you can. Do the most you can under the circumstances. Do the best you can under the circumstances. If possible, you make some adjustment in your life so you have more time. If you don't have time because you're working 10 hours a day and you have to travel 1 hour to work and 1 hour back, then maybe you should try and get another job. By the mercy of Jagannath, many householders have good income without spending so much time. It means they're distributing these, they're making at home and distributing these Jagannath cookies. So that's one suggestion.
Should a householder distribute Srila Prabhupada's books? If yes, how should he do it?
Definitely you should. How you can do it? You can go door to door in the apartment blocks, knock on the door, ring the bell. When they open the door, you say, good evening, I'd like to show you these books. I want to dress in decent clothes and be very friendly, like this. If you want more advice on this, you please speak with Vijay Prabhu, who's the ISKCON World Minister for Book Distribution, who's here now in Vidna Mosque. And he's very experienced and expert. He's empowered to distribute Prabhupada's books. I saw there was one little story about him. There's so many, actually. That he had a book table outside the university somewhere in California. And one other devotee had just taken books from the table and he was going off somewhere to distribute. And just as he was leaving, one man came up and said, I believe in the Bible. So the other devotee, he didn't wait. There are so many people like that. He walked off. Then after 20 seconds or so, he looked back and he saw the man going like this and Vijay just sitting back and smiling like this. Then he walked on, the other devotee walked on a little bit more. And then after another 20 seconds, he looked back and he saw the man holding Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita looking in his wallet to give a donation. So, take advantage of his association. He's in room 504 next to me.
If your husband took responsibility for providing for the needs of our family, and he gives me an opportunity to develop spiritually, but himself he doesn't visit the temple, can you consider him a devotee or not? He reads Srila Prabhupada's books.
He's reading Prabhupada's books and he supports you in your devotional activities, then definitely he's a devotee. And even though you may wish he was practicing devotional service on a higher level, you're lucky that he's so much cooperative and favorable compared to other husbands. So be very patient and kind with him and try and encourage him to gradually come. Actually, the younger grihasthas, it's good if you take guidance from older grihastha devotees. Usually those who are at grandparent age, they're competent to give some good guidance. So if any of you younger grihasthas, if you'd like to discuss more with some older grihasthas, I can direct you to some. You can see me afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, can you explain what's the meaning of mental violence? How to properly understand it and how to purify from this dirt, from this contamination, as quickly as possible? Mental violence.
I'm not sure what this is meant. Does it mean like contemplating violence within the mind, or does it mean like inflicting emotional violence on others? You're asking me, but I'm asking you. Who has asked this question? What do you mean by that? Do you mean... I could imagine that it either means contemplating violence or inflicting violence and inflicting pain on others emotionally.
Committing offenses in one's mind, offending others in the mind.
Oh, it's another thing altogether. That means like having a bad opinion of others, or does it mean like imagining you'd like to punch them in the face or some such thing? I mean, these things do go on.
Both.
Both. This could be a little complex because on the one hand we're told not to commit offenses, on the other hand we have to discriminate, and discriminate means that to some extent we have to see the less desirable traits in others. We are advised to avoid bad association. So if we see someone, for instance, who chants Hare Krishna, but they smoke cigarettes and say that actually there's nothing wrong with smoking cigarettes, then we understand that this person has not only got a behavioral problem, but he's also insincere, not good association. So to mentally or even verbally tell others this person has not good association, that's not offensive. So to realistically see that, in English it said calling a spade, you could call it a manually operated earth-lifting device, but you can also call it a spade. So there's nothing, even Prabhupada uses this example, that there's nothing wrong with calling a thief a thief. But on the other hand, we don't want to develop a mentality of simply looking for bad things in others without seeing good things. If we say that we should never see any bad in others, then that may not be very suitable for us at our present level of advancement. That may be unrealistic. So it may be realistic to see different people's qualities and apparent faults, to glorify them for their qualities, but be careful not to associate with those who are not only on a lower level, or deliberately remaining at that level, not endeavoring to come up. We certainly shouldn't try to develop, or we should be careful not to develop that negative kind of consciousness where we simply see faults in others. That's another kind of pride on our part, thinking I'm much better than everyone else. So how to avoid this? Well, it's a matter of cultivating the right kind of consciousness. Many of these questions, how to do this, how to be sincere, how to be dedicated, how to be strict, these questions can be answered in various ways. But one general answer to all these how-to questions is to associate with devotees who have that quality that we would like to develop ourselves. So if we find that some devotee is very much free from what you have termed mental violence, associate with that devotee, and the effect of his association will help.
What's the importance of Brahmacharini ashram? Is it needed at all?
In Prabhupada's word, it's artificial. But it was Prabhupada who started it. Traditionally, you see, there's no Brahmacharini ashram because girls are married at a very young age. Whatever they have to learn, they learn in the home. They don't learn in a gurukul. But coming to the Western countries, Prabhupada saw it's very different social conditions, and that that if young women, they want to become Krishna conscious, there's no proper, there may in many cases not be a proper shelter for them in the home. At that time, you see, many young women were just living with their boyfriends, or just living alone, or They say, unlike Russia now, where the young women, they still live with their parents until they get married, isn't it, mostly? So, is it required? Well, maybe for young girls who don't have any other hope of taking to Krishna consciousness and no other shelter.
Can we develop spiritually, being far from people in mountains, in the forest, just by reading Srila Prabhupada's books and chanting mantra?
Well, if you read Prabhupada's books, then you'll find that it's recommended to live in the association of devotees. And it's not only by reading books that you can become spiritually advanced. We have to serve, and we have to serve Vaishnavas. So you have more chance of making spiritual advancement in the city where there are Vaishnavas than in the forest where there are no Vaishnavas. If we go to the forest, we'll be alone with our mind, and the untrained mind is generally not a Vaishnava. That means if we go to the forest, we'll have bad association. So better live in the city with devotees. Serve their lotus feet. Okay, time's up. Hare Krishna. If you'd like to have more questions answered, actually I've been invited to give a class tomorrow afternoon to the devotees who didn't register and who are living in tents outside somewhere, preaching to the refugees or whatever you want to call them. So I'm supposed to be going there. They're going to take me from the hotel. They say it's 200 meters walk at 4:15 tomorrow afternoon. I don't know if the organizers will agree, but anyway, we'll go. So if you like, this is quite interesting, these questions and answers actually. So we can keep these, and I'll go there and I'll continue with this then. So anyone who wants to go, they can meet me at a